Today we're starting Mizmar Ches, a new Mizmar, a new chapter in the saga of David HaMelech. If the computer is a little bit choppy, give it a few minutes. It's still powering up. Okay, it only has 1% power, so when it powers up, then it has more koyach, and it's not so choppy. Mizmar Ches Lamatzech Al Hagitis Mizmar LeDavid Lamatzech for the conductor Al Hagitis Mizmar LeDavid. What is the Gitis? There are many interpretations. Let's take a look at first the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David here is on page 60. 60. The Mitzudos David says, wait, there's actually no Mitzudos. There is the Mitzudos Tzion. Okay, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. He really says the probably the most common interpretation. Kli zemer habo'o migas. It's a musical instrument that comes from Gas. Gas was one of the capitals, even though capital is that's a contradiction. There's only one capital, but one of the governing states, one of the major cities of the Pelishtim, one of the headquarters. The Pelishtim had five different major cities. There were five major cities. Which one was the capital? We know that Yerushalayim is the center of Eretz Yisrael. And Shiloh was. I'm talking about the malchus of Yisrael. Shomron was their capital. We have this idea that there is a center of authority in a country. It's not necessarily always the case. That there is a part of the land that is considered to be the center of activity for the country. It's not always the case. When it comes to the Pelishtim, I'm not so sure that's the case. Because there are different cities in the Pelishtim, and it seems that each one has a unique character, unique function in the way they governed. I'm not sure what kind of government do they have. Was it a democracy? Was it a dictatorship? Monarchy? It's not so simple exactly. Something requires much more study to appreciate how the Pelishtim govern themselves. So what does that mean exactly?
Like ministers.
Ministers. So was there a king? Was there a king of the Pelishtim? Did they have different?
There were some kings.
Presidium. Okay. Is there a country today in this world where there's not a single leader? Is there any country in this world where there is no single leader? Every decision is made by a vote amongst a group of leaders together. No one person speaks for the whole country. No. Is there such a thing in the world today?
The stock market? Yeah, how do you get a price? It's a consensus.
A consensus of the world, what people are willing to pay. Okay, but when it comes to governance, a law, okay, that's a price. That's the market.
There's a military government like a junta, which might be more than one person, but that's very temporary.
I remember in a shul that I was once part of is where the president of the shul retired, and the plan was there would not be a president. The plan was there would be three people.
Presidium.
Is there such a country in the world where they have such a leadership? It seems that the Pelishtim had something similar to this. I don't know. Yeah, it requires much more study if there is
occasionally there are shuls like that.
So there's obviously, if you don't see it in the world, it must not work. If something is not popular in the world, you don't see such a thing where you have a leadership in such a fashion.
Even in a presidium, somebody will end up taking charge.
Not legally. It's a vote. It's a vote. There are three people who have to vote.
Look at all of Lubavitch. Once the Rebbe died, they didn't appoint a new Rebbe.
Oh, so you're saying very good. You're saying something very interesting. Lubavitch Taka doesn't have a center figure. You're saying very interesting. When they give out money, there's a lot of money. A lot of money comes to the Chabad, and they give out a lot of money to different functions, different parts of their organization. It's worldwide. Who makes the decision? How much money goes? What? Today?
Yeah.
Who's he? He's the son?
Yehuda Krinsky.
He's the son of the previous Krinsky?
He was the Rebbe's driver, and he's the
secretary.
He's the official.
Currently?
Board.
So that means he's in charge.
Yeah.
That means he's the boss. He's the Rebbe.
No, he's not the rabbi.
The one that gives out the money, the one that makes a decision of money is in charge. That's always the way it is. Isn't that the way it is? The one who makes a decision who gets how much money, he's the rabbi. He's the real rabbi then. Any event, okay, I'm getting sidetracked. It's not going to get sidetracked.
In Sefer Shmuel, God appears twice.
Yeah.
Achish Melech God. Melech.
Melech, okay, so Melech. Okay.
That's number one. In addition to this, Goliath came to God.
Okay.
And it's amazing here. La Menatzeach al Agitit. David,
He triumphed over Goliath that came from Gath. Okay, but all
his mother triumphed over Naama.
Many of the warriors came from.
Okay. Although Arba, Gittit is a female, isn't it? Naam and Gittit is female, right? It's a city, but it's a female of Gath. Gittit.
You're making up stuff. She's not from there. You're making up stuff.
Of course she wasn't from there.
All right, fine. The Mitsuda Sion says over here that it is a musical instrument that was found in Gath. Every country has its music. Not only does it have its music, it has its musical instruments. One of my favorite Vertlach, that Navesha's
friend.
What? A guitar. Lamnatzech al ha-guitar. Lamnatzech al ha-guitar. That's very interesting. Al ha-gitis. Al tikri gitis el gitaris. The guitar. Very, very interesting. It is a musical instrument that was unique to gitis. That is it is a very great, great Talmud Chacham. He should be well and live very long. He's not so well now. Is Rabbi Moshe Wolfson Shlita. He was the Mashkiach of Torah Vedas. He is still officially on paper the Mashkiach of Torah Vedas. I really believe him to be my personally one of the few Gedolei Yisrael that we still really have. He's a very, very holy person. He's a very big Chabad person, you should know. He's a very big promoter of Chabad. He's a very holy, holy person. He's a Baal Avodah. He davens for real. It's incredible. Yeah, they have a community in the Barapah called they're called Emunas Yisrael. That's the name of the Kehila. They call them the Moonies. The Moonies. Emunas Yisrael. He's a very, very holy person. Really, for the real deal. This is no make-believe. He's a very holy person. And he gives, you know, on Shabbos, he says Chidushim, that I'm telling you, at least from my little teeny, you know, a speck of, not even a speck of dust, but the things that he says are not rehashed. They're not a spin-off on an old briskerov. The chidush that he says are fresh, are brand new, and sometimes you sit back and you say to yourself, you only can say this with Ruach HaKodesh. In the totally new insights that are just baffling. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, they don't do it anymore because he's not really that well, I don't think, and that more. They used to put out, like, every 2 years, his Talmidim would publish basically what he said for the Chidushim that he gave over the last like 2 years. Every 2 years is a Kuntris called the Kuntris. The Kuntris and Munas. And Munas Itecha, it's called. They actually published. He published a three-volume. Years ago, he published a three-volume series on the Chumash and the Moadim called the Munas Itecha. And then there are the Kutresim, which were published every year, every 2 years. He has there one of his Kutresim, something which blew my mind. And it always come back to this. It says there that the brothers, when they went to visit Yosef, when they went to see Yaakov Avinu told him, okay, in Cain, a foe zos asu. If I'm going to give in to you, and I will allow you to go down to Mitzrayim to buy grain, and I will allow you to take my last son Binyamin with you to go to the viceroy, to the Mishnah Lamelech, and do what he's telling you to do, and you also want to do this, okay? At least go prepared. Take with you money, and then take all these things, badnis, shkei, all these things. Yeah. So Rabbi Wolfson says on his own something shocking. Bring with you a melody of Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Besides, Zimra means a song. Bring with you, do a enter, do a, bring a concert. Basically, present yourselves, give Yosef a concert. Sing, bring with you to Mitzrayim the melodies, the song of the land.
And maybe he will remember.
Okay, whatever his intent was.
They used to do in the Shoah.
Yeah. Ani Mami. Shema Yisrael. You sing right. A song. Right. The people,
sing songs.
Right? They would go into the monasteries. This, the Herzog. Rav Herzog fought tooth and nail with the Pope to give back all of the Jewish children that were stolen by the Christians. And he was a Russia. He refused to do so. So he on his own, he went into the monasteries of Herzog, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, and he said, Shema Yisrael, just screamed out. And there were certain children that picked their eyes up. And the ones that picked their eyes up, he knew right away, those were Jewish. And he was able to prove it. Incredible technique, or even songs. Okay, but he told him, bring me Zimra Asarat. And this is what we spoke about
once.
That's
why you need the guitar, right?
You need to accompany this, right? So this is something that every country, we know this to be a fact, every country has a unique type of music, a unique type of cuisine, food, right? You know, there's Italian food, there is Chinese food, there's American food. What's American? I don't know what American food is. There's Israeli food, falafel, and all these dips, whatever they're called. I don't even know what they call these things. Every country has a unique cuisine and a unique flavor of music.
Delivering the food.
A unique flavor of music. And Yaakov Avinu, and you can't get that in there. You know, you can get it, you're born by a nice table. What do you have to go? You need to buy a table in America and send to Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you buy the same table. Okay, you tell me it's cost a little few more dollars. Maybe it's done with Yagmas Nefesh of shipping into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but there are certain things you can't get in America. And that is the music. A live performance of Israeli music, you're not going to get in America. You're only going to get a live performance of Israeli music in Eretz Yisrael. You want Mexican music? You're not going to get it in America. You want to get the real deal? A live concert? You're not going to get that. You got to go to Mexico. Unless the people who came, 2 million... Rabbi Chol is left because 2 million people have come in the last 18 months. 2 million people from Mexico have come to America. Welcome to America.
Mexico moved into the States.
Okay, every country has unique music. Bring him the melodies of Eretz Yisrael, and then when it says in the pasuk Vayochinu es hamincha, what does that mean? There's a whole big deal there in the parasha. They can prepare. What are you preparing? You have a box with a ribbon. You tie the ribbon already. You have the box. Give him the box. What's inside? You give him a challah tray. What are you giving him already? What's Yechimus HaMincha? Rehearsal. The concert. Vayechinu Es HaMincha. Adbo Yosef Bat Sohorayim. They had to rehearse for the performance. And I once made a calculation. I once did this with someone. Is this Chazal, we can figure it out, is that they presented the gift when? On Shabbos. And if the gift, according to Rav Wilson, was a melody, what does it mean? They presented Yosef with Zemirois of Shabbos. The first Zemirois of Shabbos was, to record in the Torah, was the Achei Yosef singing Zemirois Shabbos to Yosef. Shalom aleichem, malachei elyon. And that did it. What?
That's supposed to soften up Yosef, who was acting in a hostile
manner. Zemira Shabbos. Yeah.
Music suits.
The Zemira Shabbos. It was the game changer. Really, it's not a joke. This is not a joke. This is a serious. Really, it's not a joke. Rabbi Wilson, he says very seriously, and he brings Rias. He explains this. I remember how I was just blown away. This type of stuff you're not going to find. You're not going to find in the Mikros Kadosh. This is new. What you're going to 90% of what you're going to find today in the Sfarim stores is just a spin off of Verglach that already are out there from the Kadmonim, or like Lundis. But it's very rare for a person to come along and be machadesh something fresh, a fresh bagel. It's very rare. There are very, very few people that have that talent to open up a new yesoid. And anyone that does that today in 2021 is under attack. You can't do that. You know, you need a makar. Show me a makar. And no, that's right. You can't just say whatever you want to say. You have to prove it. And you got to really show from many angles, yes, this yesoid holds water. This yesoid, it's not so easy today to come along. Anyone today that will say, nu chidushim, like we said we saw the last week about this idea, about that Yosef suspected Yaakov that he may have been on the plot. So actually, someone told me the Karban Nisanel says it the famous. The Karban Nisanel, which was someone that carries a lot of weight, who lived not that, I remember the exact day when he lived, 200-300 years ago maybe, but he carries a lot of weight. And he says it explicitly. He says it. So now, that Yosef suspected his father that he may have been involved in his mechir.
Last week. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I told you, I'm not going to say that. I wouldn't dare say that, because to say that I can be apikorsis. You can't just say that. You have to have proof to say that. So I try to say,
in
the mechira. So I told you last week, I'm not saying chas, but I said, yeah, I want to say Yaakov Avinu may have felt that one day someone may come along and suspected this. Someone like me. So the Yaakov wanted to cover himself. The Yisim Nikim, we diluted it 100 degrees, 100, to a very large degree, not to chas shalom say such a thing about Yosef Atah, but someone told him to cover in the silence of the famous. And the truth is that the Kli Yakar also says some very shocking things that no one would say today about.
It was very strange that Yaakov sent, go find your brothers or something. That was very strange.
Right. Yes, the whole thing, 100, that's the Karban Nisanel, he says the Beferish. He suspected his father. He says it, unbelievable to say such a thing. So, what am I trying to point out? I'm trying to point out, go back over here, is that every country, Yechim Lassim Techazabar, Wolfson, it says that Yaakov Avinu told his children, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, take with you the botnis, ushkedim, velot, wax, all these different things that it says over there in the pasuk. Kehulchem mizimra asaretz. So Rashi says it means the Paris. The Shevach of Eretz Yisrael is the Paris of Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Wilson, as a Jewish, he says, bring with you from the song, Zemiris. Eretz Yisrael, a culture, a land, has the people are naturally inclined to sing a unique melody that you're not going to get anywhere. Every country has a unique melody. The melody of Eretz Yisrael is unique, it's sacred, it touches a certain part of a person's neshama. Sing the songs of Eretz Yisrael for the Mishneh LeMelech. This is something he can't get in Mitzrayim with all the money in the world. And this will be your unique gift. And Vayechinu Es HaMincha, they rehearsed. There was a rehearsal, a dress rehearsal, before Yosef came. And this taka took place on Shabbos. And this little Shabbos, when they sang for him, what then became the Zeniroi Shabbos. And this, Vlo Yochel Yosef L'Hisapek. Yosef broke him down. The Zeniroi Shabbos, the melodies of Shabbos, it weakened him. It opened him up. And it brought about the whole Geula and the Yosef, V'chulu V'chulu. It's powerful stuff, Rabbi Wolfson. Not so simple this type of Torah. Now, why am I telling you that? Because of this pasuk. It says here that Lamatseach b'neginois al hagitis. Rashi, the Mitzudas, and all the commentaries here, they say the same thing. Gitis miloshen gas. Gas is Gaza. Gas is the land of the Pelishtim. There was and over here refers to a musical instrument. Now, even though I'm telling you there's something about the music of a country, it's not just the music. It's, I told you, there's the cuisine, there is a type of food they eat, and here we're dealing with music and melodies. Maybe over here the melodies are different. Gas is the land of the Pelishtim, and this musical instrument is only found there. It's unique to their culture. And David, from Gas. Kinora do Osem in Gas. Right. The kinora that comes from Gas. Excellent. That's right. The Targum. I'm very delinquent in learning the Targum, because unfortunately a lot of the words he says, I don't know what they mean. And therefore it's a big, I'm lazy to go look them up. To really the depth of what we should really spend more time on the Targum. All the secrets are in the Targum. There is something, a unique flavor, a unique melody that is in Gas that David HaMelech felt was perfect to bring out the message of this particular mizmor. It's sometimes the melody the melody and the musical instruments contribute to the message of the mizmar, and this can only have been achieved over here from the musical instrument that is found in gas. Now, why would you want to do that? Gas were a place of crazy mishugayim, right? Gas, Gaza, terrorists, a center of terrorists. What's going on? Well, I don't know. Obviously, listen, gas is part of Eretz Yisrael, so you know they're occupying our land. But there is a sanctity. What?
Kiryat
Gat. It's our land. They're occupying. So even though the terrorists are living over there, but there is kedusha in that land, and the goyim, the Palestinian, they were sucking up this kedusha for the sitra achra, for their own purposes. But nevertheless, there is that kedusha, a unique kedusha that came forth from that land, and it manifested itself in different ways, how the Palestinian abused it, and how we are able to use it for kedusha. And here David HaMelech is incorporating it into Tehillim. Now this, if you say this idea, this will touch upon it, you know, today, this is a very big, controversial thing, that there are a lot of melodies today in our toolkit that are not Jewish melodies. Okay, some of the basic melodies that are very popular in shuls. I don't know, once I had people over there, Nam, she showed me on videos, some of the most basic melodies, I was shocked. Basic melodies that we sing on the Mo'adim that really have a non-Jewish origin. They have they're non-Jewish songs. They don't come from Jewish sources. And somehow we have Judified them. We've taken them and we have brought them into our Nusach HaTzfilah, and it's become they become classics, and all the biggest Gedolei Yisrael are it's part of their blood, these melodies. And when you trace these melodies, they're not Jewish. They don't come from Jewish people. Okay, Chaim Bolin Purim. Okay, that's an extreme exception. Chaim Bolin Purim, most of the melodies, and these are melodies that they sing the whole night with incredible slavos, are not Jewish melodies. Bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da I'm Berry. What's his first name?
Suki Berry or Bushy Berry?
Bushy Berry.
Binyamin.
So he sent me a video from that melody, the Russian military orchestra. Right. They must have there 200 people in the orchestra. 200 people playing, all Goyim, playing that exact, playing not that long ago, playing on and on and on. And that's only one of many. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? You take these non-Jewish melodies and you bring it into the Beis Medrash, into the Beis HaKnesses. So the answer is, guess what? David HaMelech did the same thing.
David did.
What?
There's a bunch of tshuvas from...
Right. David HaMelech. So go right here. David HaMelech, Gas was never our. Gas was always... the Sitrach. We never succeeded in getting God. Not even today in 2021. Gas, we gave it up. Right? Gadiel Shalom. Yeah, this is amazing. That Mokhan, for some reason, Gaza, never, the Jewish people never had mazel there.
Right.
Even Shimshon, didn't he die in Gas? Shimshon was killed in Gas. They killed him, they poked out his eyes. His last thing he did was he pulled the pillars and the whole place collapsed. He was suicide. He died. Suicide. Gas. Yeah, Gas. Yeah. So Gas. Gas is the capital of Gaza. Gas is a place that the Jews never had mazel. Never. There's no mazel in that place. There's something about that makom. We can't succeed in Gaza. And yet, again, there's a melody. There's a musical instrument. Obviously there's some type of a musical instrument comes with a unique melody. And yet, what does David do? David incorporates that into Kisvei Kodesh. Kisvei Kodesh. So if you're going to take what I'm saying, because to be correct, now, not everyone agrees that this is the pshat. The Targum says it, though, right? The Targum says it. You can't do better than the Targum. The Soida is that a kinyan that comes from Gas, and David has no problem. Who lived in Gas in David's life? In David's lifetime, Gas was always under the authority of the Pelishtim. He never took hold of it in his lifetime. I don't know if they ever took hold of Gaza. ever in history. Maybe they did at some point in time, but not in David's lifetime. And David here is taking this musical instrument that comes from Gaza, and with a musical instrument comes a unique type of music, and he brings it in to Sefer Tehillim, Kisvei Kodesh. So you do see at least a remnant of such a principle that it's not, the world doesn't come to an end when you take talent and you take koiches hanefesh of non-Jews and you bring them in and you elevate them and you Jewify them. What does it say in the pasuk? It goes back to Bereishis. Yaft Elokim liyafes v'yishkon ba'ohol eshem. Yafes is Yavon. They're the worst of the worst. The desanctification of Klal Yisrael. They want to destroy us in the worst way possible. And yet, Torah says, take their contribution to this world, which is an enormous contribution. Science, beauty, sophistication, no sports. This is healthy. This is competition. I mean, you go through Yavon, the milus of Yavon are just incredible. The contribution that Yavon has given to this world in so many shapes and forms is beyond description. Yeah, on the other hand, though, they're the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. Their goal is to completely suck out any Kedusha in Klal Yisrael. So it's a complicated world. They have incredible contributions to society. Yofi, science, let's leave with those two things, and there's a lot more. And Yemitzat Sheni, they represent the Sitra Achra in the worst, in this, the ugliest shape and form. Hashem told us, be boirer. Boirer, select the good and reject the evil. Yavdu l'kim liyefes, the milus of Yefes, the yishkoin be'ohol eshem. David does the same thing with the Polishtim. He's taking the music, the musical instruments of Gass, he's bringing it into Tehillim. There's something about Gass that is very appealing. Now, in 2021...
That would be called cultural appropriation.
In 2021, obviously, this doesn't really work too well because we live in a very dangerous world like never before, and obviously no one's telling you to go check out what the goyim do and find the nitzitzos of Kedusha. What?
We apply it to technology. There are those who scream.
Fine, okay,
don't
you're right.
Don't do the technology in the meantime.
Those who ask for me, don't do the technology. The people that say reject technology, it's not because they reject technology, because that's k'nei kol tora kula. It's because of the dangers and unfortunately the inability of the average person to properly harness the advantages without getting harmed in the middle. And it's a fact, it's true. The proof is in the pudding. Already the technology of the internet has been around for 20 years, and the damage that many have suffered is really mind-boggling, how much damage. And really, yes, it was really worth it. I mean, we don't have a choice. No one's giving us a choice. That's the way the world is. You can't live. You cannot live today.
But that's the basis of the world as we've learned previously.
But it's on a different level.
There's a balance. The more tumma, the more
right.
kedusha.
Right. But it's overwhelming today. A person today in 5 minutes with a smartphone can see more dvarim ha'asurim than a shtetl in Poland of 100,000 people put together over the course of their entire lifetime. 5 minutes. 5 minutes you can learn, you can damage your neshama in 5 minutes with things you never even knew were possible in this world. What? 100%? I'm with you.
It's the balance.
Right? So the people
the balance.
I was always skeptical, but as I got a little older, I came around to totally, everyone has their own opinion, is the dangerous. I live with it. I'm addicted. I'm an addict. I'm really. It's gotten to a point where I really need therapy. I'm not joking. I'm much addicted. I check it every second. It's really. It's too much. It's getting me sick. But the dangers of what's there are very frightening. And you're dealing with the hamoin app. You're dealing with the population. Parents can't sit and watch their children. Forget about the parents. They're not even the parents. The adults. Every time they talk about protect your children from the internet, like when the doors on the train, stand clear of the closing doors. Protect your children from the dangers of the internet. It's not protect your children. Children's lush and soggy, nor protect yourself from the internet. Every time they say children, baloney. The children, you should know, the good kids, they have much more stamina than the adults. Much more. You can give a good kid an unfiltered computer, a good kid, nothing will happen. You give the chosh of a Talmud Chacham an unfiltered device, give him a couple of days. Give him a couple of days. Children are good. Good kids are good. They're solid. The ones that are not so solid, unfortunately, they're very, very vulnerable. But the one who's the most vulnerable are the adults. They really are. They really, it's not a joke. I know people think this doesn't seem like a joke. It's not a joke. Anyone who knows, who wants to be honest, knows. On the other hand, I mean, Corona. What would Corona have been for Klal Yisrael if not for technology? Where would we be today? Do you know how much learning, how much Kiddush Shem Shemayim, how much Chizuk, how much Yir Shemayim was nurtured during Corona? Only ach v'rach because of the internet. Ach v'rach. It's like, you know, this thing could have happened anytime. Pandemic, modern, could have happened 20 years ago. If this would have happened 20 years ago, the same pandemic, there was no technology 20 years ago. It was a joke. What do you have already? A few little things up here. You didn't get it.
Skype. I don't know if Skype would have been able to.
Skype is a joke compared to what we have today. The whole infrastructure. Skype was just the tip of the iceberg. Then, could you imagine? This would have happened even 15 years ago. We would have been dead in the water. We wouldn't stand the day. It's like HaKadosh, this thing had to happen. Hashem was buried in the refuah, cut in the makkah. Everything was in place. And we're able. I mean, there's a lot of collateral damage. Not everyone knows, you know, being locked down can make you go meshuga. Okay, I'm not. What?
What's in place today?
Zoom. Everyone today has a computer. Everyone today is computer literate. Everyone knows how to turn it on and go online and press the buttons. 15 years ago, most adults don't even know how to go on the internet. Their kids have to teach them. If they let the kids have a computer. I mean, it's just much more out there. People are much more literate. They're more comfortable. Oh, okay. They're more comfortable with the technology. They're not afraid. All right. Yisro Gadol Himenu. So we're living in a generation where Yisro Gadol Himenu. Listen, obviously, I was talking. I'll tell you confidential information. Okay, I'm gonna turn this thing off. Not because anyone's gonna even listen to this. I don't even know how that means that someone will ever listen to this ever. But in any event, I'll tell you something very interesting. Of course. Look, I know the Baal Musaf and Chaim Berlin, Nachum Ayafoya. In his house, there's a bookcase like this. See this bookcase like this? You know what's in the bookcase? Every classical music CD that ever existed. It's a Bucky Muff looking classical music. Every single one of the artists are going. And he has them all. And he knows everyone, and he's the Baal Musaf on the Yom HaDaran.
So that's how he's Mechadish all.
No, yeah. He told me, I think when he does Mari Koin, there's a Goshenim. How does Mari Koin go? He has a Goshenim. Can you imagine the Chaim Berlin, Mari Koin? They don't do Yigal Chalak, Mari Koin. They don't do that one. He does a classical music, and it's not Jewish. Okay, and no one even knows. I think very few people even know that. Okay, so a whole bookcase of classical music, and who are the artists? Goyim. There's a principle of being able to be sophisticated enough how to bring in, to take what the world has to offer, even into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Even what comes out of the neshama, the melody, even that far it goes. All right, let's look a little bit over here.
Add one more thing, that the entire musical for the Sfaradim, The Sfardim is all Arabic music.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Completely.
You're a product of your culture. Look at the music that's coming out today in the Jacob stores. What is that a product of? America. Goyish music. The melodies today are wild. They're crazy.
Well, you see, we even have Jewish rap.
You go to a wedding, I'm telling you, go to a wedding today, I don't recognize even one single melody. To me, it's all noise. Noise. There was actually one wedding I went to not that long ago where they only played these old nigunim. I was just blown away. Like a real, big, nice chashuva wedding. And they only played these songs from 20, 30 years ago. These old, the whole wedding, it's all they played, old melodies. So you go to a regular wedding today, I don't recognize even one single melody, not even one. I go deaf from the volume. And I try to listen to Captain Nigun, and it's just noise. What are you guys doing?
Music for the deaf.
What?
Music for the deaf.
Music for the deaf. Let's go weiter. Lamnatzeach alagites mizmor leDavid. Okay, so we learned over here one interpretation. Now there's another interpretation. I want to go show you them over here. Look at the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra. So I wrote some things down over here. Ibn Ezra. How does he teach? Let me just go back. Let me go back over here to where I marked down a few things over here. The Ibn Ezra. Aleph Beis on page 61. There are many more interpretations as to what it means gas. We just spent over here almost a whole hour on this, on describing over here what it means gas. But over here, he says something a little bit different. Lamatzech alagitis al Hashem adenu zeh hamizma nisano. It was given l'mishpachas oived edom hagitim. Shehu mibnei Levi. Okay, oived edom was the person who did what? He was one who was the host. The host of the Mishkan when it was in transit. Oved Edom, when they brought the Mishkan, they transported the Mishkan from Givon, Noiv Givon, to Beis David, until in its last journey, before they went and they built the Mishkan. The Mikdash, in the Shlomo HaMelech, the Mishkan of Hashem in its one of its last journeys was hosted for a period of time in the home of Oved Edom. And he was blessed.
Was he Jewish?
Yes, it seems he was. So why was he called Edom? Good kash. Maybe right. Maybe I have to go study this. I don't remember. Maybe he was a ger from Edom.
No, it says
Shu'u from Bnei Levi. Oh, okay, so you're right. So it can't be that, but he was Bnei Levi. So why was he called Edom? He did business. Maybe he had a business in Edom. I don't know. He had some connection to Edom. He lived, I don't know. He had
God.
And where did he live? So what did Gas the Pelishtim? The Gas has nothing to do with the Edom. What does that do with the Pelishtim?
He could have had
three names.
Made red bricks in
Gas. He was called Oved Edom Hagiti. Why was he called Edom? I do not know. I'm sure the Mefarshim must say why, somewhere over there. But he was called Hagiti. Why was he called Hagiti? I don't know. It's not Mestav that he lived in Gas. Because they would have killed him.
Yeah. Why not? Shimshon lived in Gath.
Shimshon, no, as a guy in disguise.
They knew who he was.
Yeah, they were afraid of him, though. He was a strong guy. All right, you're right. Yeah. I really don't know. I have no idea. But somehow, whenever in the situation, Farsh will probably give all these different explanations. He lived in the fortress. They were afraid of him. He had some connection to the Gittin, the Gath, and he had something to do with Edom. And therefore, his name was Oved Edom HaGiti. That is how he is described in Sefer Shmuel. And he was the host to the Mishkan, to the Aron, during one of its last journeys.
Didn't we have someone in Nachal Gad?
Nachal Gas? Right. I don't remember. I don't remember. Could be, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But this is a very famous person, the Ishi HaTanach. Look it up in the Art School Encyclopedia. In the Ishi HaTanach, there was a fellow by the name of Oved Edom Hagiti. And he was the host to the Aron during one of its last journeys. And in merit of being a good host, Hashem blessed him. He had numerous children. He was fruitful. He had many, many children. David was actually a little jealous of him. What? I don't remember. Could be. I don't remember. David was a little jealous of him. That he was blessed. He was blessed. Exactly. That's when they brought it from them. When the Pelishtim, Shiloh, the fall of Shiloh, Oyved Edom Agidi was a person who hosted. What? Doik Ho'adomi, same thing. So also there's a discussion, why was he called Ho'adomi? Why was he called? So he had a connection. He had a connection to the Edomim. Does it mean that he was a ger? I don't know. Does it mean he had property in Edom? He did business with Edom? He was influential over Edom? I don't know. There was something about him. There was something about some kid. There's probably many interpretations as what, why he was called Edom. You have this a lot of the Ishei HaTanach. Many of them they were called by names of the non-Jewish nations. Okay, but the point over here is, without going into too much detail, this fellow was called Oved Edom HaGiti. Therefore, when David composed this melody, he gave it as a gift to Oved Edom HaGiti, and he told him, in the Mikdash, when they sing Mizmorim, only you have an exclusive. It's like, you know, you have a melody, you give it to a certain artist, a certain singer, an exclusive, right? Exclusive to the New York Times, exclusive to the Wall Street Journal, exclusive to the Washington Post, right? You ever see an article? Exclusive. This is not just rehash from the AP. This is exclusive to our news outlet only. This was a melody that was exclusive to Oyved Edom HaGiti. Also, he just an incredible principle, is that certain mizmorim, you just can't go and say it on your own. You can't go into the Beis HaMikdash and just get up to the Dukhan and decide, oh, I'm going to sing today now Mizmor Ches in Til. Excuse me, you have a license to do this? There's a copyright on this. The only one that has a license to sing this Mizmor on the Dukhan when they bring Korbanos is Oyved Edom HaGiti and his descendants. Where's your passport? Where is your melody passport? You have to only have limitations. That's a chiddush in and of itself. And why is it called HaGitis? It's saying it in the title. This only goes to one person. In reward for his mesiras nefesh of hosting the Aron HaKodesh in a difficult time in its journey, you are blessed, are given this mizmor for you only. So that's an incredible interpretation. Ibn Ezra says incredible stuff over here. So Zeh HaMizmor Nisano L'Mishpachas Ad Edom HaGiti Shum Ibn Levi. Now according to this interpretation, guess what that means? The whole drasha that we gave him for an hour of taking the nitzotzos of Tumah and elevating them is out the window. At least not from this pasuk. Maybe you'll find another pasuk somewhere else, but don't bring a raya from this pasuk, because this pasuk is not discussing a specific type of melody and musical instrument that comes from Gass. There are a bunch of mishagayim there. You don't want to have anything to do with them. Nothing. Not even one thing. Not even one thing. But here, it's referring to a specific person. It's been given over to his possession for his family. And he gives an example. Another one could go, Al Yidusun. That was another person. So we learn Yidusun either meant also another type of musical instrument, or it means only a certain person. Opiyot Techilas HaGitis. Now, I don't know what this means, Rabbi. I don't know what this means. Mitif Eres Vehadoy Melo. I have no idea. He's saying HaGitis means, in English, it means splendor. I don't know. I struggle with this. You know what this means? The word Gitis doesn't mean gas, gaza. It doesn't mean anything. It is a word. It's a word in the Hebrew language. I never heard of this word. To go find the Makar for this word, and he says it means splendor. Is there another example of this? Yeah. Normally, when you say something like this, you give examples of where you find the similar usage of this shirish. The shirish of this word means splendor. This is a splendorous. This mizmor that we're going to learn is awesome. And indeed it is. Indeed it really is. Look at the Malm over here. The Malm over here got so excited. He got so excited he never stopped writing on this mizmor. What he wants on this mizmor. It is a splendorous. It is awesome. It is off the charts in its beauty and its depth and meaning. Okay, then look. Then he goes on. Rabbi Moshe Amar. Who's Rabbi Moshe? I have no idea who this Rabbi Moshe is. Rabbi Moshe, Amar, Hukli Yisyaki Hukli Yisyaches El Mishpachas Oyved Edom HaGiti Ul Yisyaches Kocholoi Motsonu. Now he says something in between of what we've said until now. It's a certain type of musical instrument that the only one that knows how to play it is Oyved Edom HaGiti. So it does not mean that the mizmar doesn't mean that this musical instrument is native to the land of Gaza. Nah. We're referring to a person. Oyved Edom was very musical, and he invented his own musical instruments. And only he knew how to play the instrument. Only he had the sophistication to play this musical instrument, but it's a Jewish musical instrument. It's not a musical instrument you can buy in every 99 cent store in Gas. It's a musical instrument that is invented or known to Oyved Edom Hagiti. Somewhere in the middle of what we said before, it's combining kind of ideas. Umavhilim Amroi al Nigun Ad.
Yeah, what is that?
Evan. Yeah, that's
from Evan. Nonsense. Umavhilim Amroi al Nigun Hadarchim Gas. Those people. Okay, then this Ibn Ezra didn't suffer fools
gladly.
Ibn Ezra, when Ibn Ezra doesn't like something, he makes sure know that. He doesn't walk away. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
My Rebbe said, when it says Zehebo, he said it means baloney.
Baloney, exactly. Yeah. He says it in stock. He always does that many times. I shy away here in the shift from the Ibn Ezra because 99% I don't understand what I don't know. It's too easy. They say that it was not written, it was written as his personal notes. The Ibn Ezra was not written for publication. It was private notes, the rabbi's notebook. Only he knew what he was writing. So when we read, that's why it's extremely terse. And he wrote it for himself.
Oh, I see what he means.
And some people they put in the print and whatever. But he writes it. Those people who dare say what the Targum says, and what the Mitzvot David says, and we spend a whole hour on those people. Better stay away from me.
No, but when he says Anigan Hadarchin Gas,
it's a melody. It's
a work song.
Right. It doesn't mean. It's a press.
The
right?
Wine press. That's another interpretation. Okay, that's another interpretation. Okay, that's another. I had it over here. Yeah. There's another is that when they like you know when in the army, when they march, when they
stand before who. For what? They're late for me.
I'll just go downstairs.
There's nobody here.
Go downstairs.
It says rabbi. What's the other one?
So you put it by his door. That's all.
This one definitely downstairs. That's the senior center. This one, I don't know. The rabbi's not here now.
You put it in his door.
Don't put it over there. Put it
on the shoulder?
Yeah.
So just leave it over here. Leave it over here then.
Right,
the top one leave over here, and the other one take downstairs, please. Thank you very much. Thank you for your listening. All right, so the second interpretation, there's a work song. The people when they're in the army, when they march, they have songs. How's the song go?
Well, the gospel is the wine press. So
when they would trample, it's a very boring job.
The while you work.
Like people rowing along. People are darker than the Sizema, they would say while they're trampling.
When I was in camp, we went for hikes. So the guy there who's on our couches, I don't know if he went to the army, I don't know. He'd say the army when you go on a hike and you're going to march. And he's like, I left my wife and 48 kids in front of the kitchen, right in front of the kitchen floor. Like there are certain melodies, melodies that in the army they sing when they do boring things. When you derchem begas, it's a boring job. You sit the whole day and you crush grapes. So they had a melody. There's a certain melody, or there's a certain meter, and a certain tone. So he wants this when it's over here, lomsech alagidis, which means. There was a certain popular song or melody, a melody that was sung, or maybe, let's say, the meter of the melody that was sung when people did, they crushed grapes.
Or sailors, or any group right. That's doing a
repetitive task.
Right.
Singing the song. So this song over here is suggesting, some of the commentators suggest, that they would that this is what it means here. La Natseach for the conductor, Alagitis, the melody that you should use, or an element of that melody, whether it's the meter, whether it's the tone, whatever it is, should be the same as the common melody that was sung when people would crush grapes. And the Ibn Ezra says, anyone who dares to say such an interpretation, you don't want to come across me on a dark street in the middle of the night. Umafhilin, it is Havel. Havel Havelim Akol Havel. Omru, those who say that what it means is Al Nigun, this melody, Hadarchim, those that press gas in a wine press. Now the other interpretation that it comes from gas, he did say at least partially in the previous, in the other interpretation, that it means it's a musical utensil that is yaches to a person. He didn't go so far to say what the Targum says, and to go so far to say what it says in the Mitzudos, to the Mitzudos, that it is actually a musical instrument that comes from the land of gas. But he said it relates to an individual, a Jewish man, person, who...
Why did he say, doesn't say Jewish,
he says. Look what he says from Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe Amar, Kihu Kli, it's a musical instrument, Yisyaches El Mishpachas, to the family, Oyved Edoim Hagiti. So the reason why it's called Lamasech Al Hagitis, we're referring to a unique musical instrument. Why is it called Gitis? Because the only one that knows how to play this musical instrument, or the one who invented it, maybe the inventor, or the one that is Oyved Edoim Hagiti. It has nothing to do with the Pelishtim, the land of the Pelishtim. It has to do with an individual. There's an individual, his name is Oyved Edoim Hagiti. He lives in Yerushalayim in the Old City. Why is he called... Maybe he does. Yeah, maybe he does, maybe, because maybe he's not Jewish, then we wouldn't dare use such a thing in the Beis
HaMikdash.
You
invented an instrument now. We took that
Shabu
instrument.
Well, we had a whole share for 1 hour discussing that. So that's what the Targum says.
Right.
And that's what the Mrs. David likes to quote. But we said that is a little bit controversial.
Yeah, but that's
okay?
Controversial because it's from the culture of the God. But if it's,
it's a little bit controversial.
He had a factory in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, it's a little controversial.
And you
see that this Rabbi Moshe Ibn Ezra doesn't want to say that because it's a little bit controversial. But he nuances it by saying that Oyved Edoim Hagiti, you know where he lives? He lives in the Old City. He has an apartment in the Old City worth $5 million. He's a Haredi. He's in Yuchis, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is his name Oyved Edoim Hagiti? Edoim Giti Achreznish. That's his name. So, and he is very talented. He has a shop, and he made this new musical instrument that no one else knows how to play other than him. And therefore, David HaMelech discovered this, and David decided that this is the perfect musical instrument to use for this mizmor, and that's what I want. Lamatzeach al hagitis, when you play this mizmor, you should use the musical instrument that was invented by this Haredi, who is a miyuchas back to Moshe Rabbeinu, who lives in the Old City, and he doesn't even know anything other than Yadus, and his name is Oyved Edoim Hagiti. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. I'm not making this up. Okay, the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says this instrument was invented by terrorists. Okay, by evil people in Gaza. And it happens to be, you know, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Maybe we can sanctify it. We can be mala the mitzvotzeis of Kedusha that lie inside this musical instrument. 100%! Elu v'elu. Okay, but let's see the different ideas. You see the sensitivities. Not everyone's like your Rav Meir. Not everyone is so skilled in the malah and the tzitzis of Kedusha. Okay, now there's more. Okay, really out of time. I just want to just finish this topic at least. The other interpretations. Okay, the other interpretations. Let's look one more here before we wind down. Look at the Sipurna. Okay, look at the Sipurna. Sephorno. That's what you say, Sephorno the Pei? Say, I never knew that. Sephorno, Periches, Periches, Pasik, the beginning, just one line. Page 60. Bezeh HaMizmar, Bikesh, V'Yispalel, Shiyasa HaKel, Eze Hevdel L'Toiv, Bein Yisrael, L'Umois Ha'olam. K'moshe Bikesh, Moshe B'Amro, V'Niflinu Ani V'Amcha. It was very hard, as I tried, to spend most time trying to find what is the theme of each mizmor. That's probably the most important thing to walk out of when you learn Tillim. Every Tillim, I want a little hadama of what is this about. I have a lot of Sramana. Some of them are very shvach. I have a lot of stuff. They all tell me they just summarize, give me a two-liner. A two-liner. What is the essence of this nizma that we're going to learn? Give me a mahalach. Give me a hadracha, a chut that goes through the entire nizma. So he says something which is a little off the beaten track. A lot of Farshim don't say this. They say different things. They say very Malm doesn't know at all. He says this mizmar, the yisoid, it's a long mizmar. The yisoid of this mizmar, you have to keep this in mind, this sefurna, very important, is a bakasha equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu's request, v'niflinu ani v'yamech. Hashem, please separate us. Make us different than the rest of the world. There should be a havdalah. The way you deal with us should not be the way you deal with the Umayyads. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel not to rest. Hashem, do not rest your divine presence on the Goyim. That's interesting, Brakasha. Because if not for the request of Moshe Rabbeinu, it would appear that Hashem was willing and may have indeed rested a degree of Shekhinah and Ruach HaKodesh on the Goyim. In addition to resting his Shekhinah and divine presence upon us. Moshe saw... Bilam, who says it was divine presence? Hashem just gave him, just put words in his mouth. Was that Shekhinah? He knew Hashem put words in his mouth. It's very, very good. How do you define when Bilam, words came out of his mouth? Does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually rested his divine presence? It's hard to say that. Because, what? Yodei Tso, do they have Sal Elyon? That's in the din of a Navi, but there's more to being a Navi. There's the Shekhinah. I don't know. I don't know what Nevi'ah is. We don't know what prophecy is.
And that's the Shekhinah is Shaira on that person. The lowest level is
Bilam, who lived with a donkey. Is it really possible to say that Bilam will live with a donkey, Hashem would rest his divine presence upon him?
Well, that worry is that.
Okay, so this is a difficult topic.
But let's say
you find among Goyim holy people. Let's say you find among Goyim people who are very holy. People that practice holiness just like what we do. Let's say you find a person that tries to imitate us. They nizer and shmir seinayim. They only eat kosher food. A Goyim, a real Goyim. And really does the real deal. Will he merit Ruach HaKodesh? Will he merit Hashem resting his Shekhinah upon him?
Is
he
in
the
Kabbashah? Maybe in the old days it could have been possible.
Moshe Rabbeinu
was this Ba'al, so no longer.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No longer. That was Moshe's Bakasha.
Right.
Bilam, let's leave him out, because that's a very complicated topic. Bilam, was he an exception? Can it be? Whatever it is. But let's talk about, let's say, make-believe that we all understand. You're not going to get Ruach HaKodesh unless you're a holy person. And a holy person comes with a lot of work, comes with a lot of Mesiras Nefesh, it comes with Sigufim, to deny yourself the benefits of this world, it comes with fasting, it comes with elevating yourself to a very holy level. So you can have a Goyim that can do this. There are Goyim, there are monks, and there are all these people who engage in these type of activities where they meditate and they don't enjoy this world, to bring upon themselves some understanding, to come close to God. Will they succeed?
They're one of the biggest users of art school, by the way.
What?
They're one of the biggest users of art school.
Will they succeed? It appears that if not for Moshe Rabbeinu pulling the plug, they would. They would have succeeded in bringing upon themselves Ruach HaKodesh. Why? So why not? Why deny them the pleasure? Why? We don't know the answer to that question, but Moshe understood something we do not understand. Moshe understood that if these people who were sincere as Goyim, they don't want to become Jews, if they were sincere in applying for Ruach HaKodesh and going through all the necessary steps, Hashem would give it to them. Hashem wouldn't deny them the pleasure of resting His divine presence upon them. Right? But the Chassidus, but do they get the Shekhinah? Do they get Shekhinah? Chassidei Umas Olam, but do they merit that they get Shekhinah? The Shekhinah comes to... We don't even know what that word means. No. Moshe pulled the plug. Only because of Tfilas Moshe. Obviously, Moshe knew something. Only because he knew something we do not know. Them getting Shekhinah would be a very great danger for us. How does... I don't know. No clue. Not going to make believe I know anything. Yeah. David HaMelech what Moshe Rabbeinu said in three words, V'niflinu, ani v'yamecha, three words, this entire Mizmar is a Perish Rashi on those three words. That's what we have to keep in mind when we learn this Mizmar. What Moshe said in three words, Dov is going to say now in many, many words to explain to us exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind. That's the Hagdama to this Mizmar. And
he picked up the cleave that comes from Gat, from Goyim.
To do this. Also, maybe it makes a little bit sense.
Why not?
Because since over here, maybe that helps us.
A hammer is Jewish?
Because if the whole purpose here is to be mavdil, Bein Yisrael lo amin, it's not so far-fetched that we're going to use elements, if that's the goal, is to be mavdil, Bein Yisrael lo amin, we're going to invite elements that are from the amin into this mizmar to use it to make a havdalah. Okay, how do doctors bring refuah? They take the disease itself. In order to have the refuah be removed, okay, there's a virus, most person has an illness. So many situations, they isolate the illness, the elements of the illness, and they take it, and they manipulate it, and they put it back into the body. And that does the job, and that assists in wiping out the illness.
And so the Sforno was saying, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, if we know.
Three words.
Dovid HaMelech also was bevakesh and mispalel
right.
On that. On
exactly, as I said. What Moshe Rabbeinu said in three words, Dovid HaMelech is saying in an entire mizmar. It's an aperish Rashi on V'niflinu ani v'yamecha. Those three words are very terse. We should be different. We should be apart. Let me explain to you what it means to be different. Let me explain to you Moshe Rabbeinu's request.
It doesn't have to be necessarily he's explaining what.
Okay, it's the same idea. It's the same prayer. It's the same prayer, but in many more words. In many, many more words. And when we understand what David says in these, we can then go back and have an appreciation of what Moshe Rabbeinu said in three words. And as far as when you said gas, it makes a lot of sense now. Because if we're coming over here to completely separate the mouth between us and them, we can understand, appreciate, maybe that's taka why we're bringing in melodies and we're bringing in musical instruments of the nations of the world. Because if we have to create a havdalah, they got to be here. They got to be present to know what you're being mavdil. To understand what you're separating yourself from.
Make it appreciate this
havdalah. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow and yes, Hashem will take a short break. And afterwards, I want to go do a couple of short, a few different things, short, about the parasha. Halachic topics about the parasha.
Oh, interesting.